Hello. Welcome to the third episode of Mood Swings in Isolation, as I build it. I hope everyone enjoyed the episode on Monday with Nicola. As I said online, I'm going to try and put out three of these a week, at least three. Hopefully all with guests, but if not, maybe I'll do a couple of solo episodes or whatever, if people send in questions or anything like that, but most of them are going to be with guests conducted over Skype, like the one with Nicola was, and like this one is, and there'll be another one coming on Friday, which, at the time we recorded this, I am just about to record, I think, fairly shortly, so, yeah. How is everyone doing in lockdown? Today I thought a towel was looking at me, which was worrying. I don't think it was now, but, you know, just for a second, I was concerned. Anyway, the guest for this podcast has been on twice before, possibly. He has been on once himself, once in a group podcast, and then he also contributed to the Scotch and tribute episode. So you might have heard a podcast with my friend Michael on it before. For anyone that doesn't know, Michael works in TV, in production. And he works on a show called A View from the Terrace. He just started working on that fairly recently, which is all about Scottish football. He talks about it in this episode and puts it a lot better than I am just now. But if you want to check out the show he works on, it's A View from the Terrace. They were running right up until last Friday, I believe. Again, Michael goes through all that in the podcast. And there's loads of clips and stuff on YouTube, so it's well worth checking out. Since we had Michael on and he works in football, I thought it was a good time to talk about what's going on with football just now, with everything being, you know, just shut off because of coronavirus, and just speculate what might happen in football and with sports generally, and when things might get back going. Obviously, no one knows. It's all up in the air just now, and there's bigger things to worry about than football and sport in general, but I don't know. It's kind of fun, I think, to speculate on what might happen because these things are so unusual and nothing like this ever happened before. So a small, tiny silver lining is we get to have these discussions about what could potentially happen. Or it's a silver lining, I think, anyway. Hope everyone's staying safe and not finding lockdown too tough. Again, if you want any questions asked or anything you want to discuss with, for me to discuss with any of the guests, fire it in.
Yes, I'm good, thank you. I'm on day 12 of social distancing and it's starting to grate a wee bit.
Yeah, day 12. Why have you been doing it for so long? Just because your work told you to?
Yeah, so I started working from home a week past Tuesday, and the only time I've been out properly was when I went hill walking on that Thursday, but even then it was just me and a pal, so not around that many people. And then that's been it since, basically.
Yeah. Are you going out to the shops every day, or are you, like, have you done a full day indoors?
I've done a few of those, yeah. I'd say I've done two or three of those so far, yeah.
How's that been?
It's fine. Days go quite quick, to be honest. It's surprising how quickly they go, considering you're doing the same thing constantly. But I mean, I'm still working during the week, so I mean, I get up and I have my 9:30 call, and then I've worked till 6 kind of thing. So it's a lot of data and stuff like that, but keeps me going.
Obviously, you've been on the podcast before, and so we know you work in TV. or I know you work in TV, and people listening might remember that you work in TV, but you recently started on like a new show. Do you want to speak a little bit about that?
Sure. So I started at the sort of end of January working on A View from the Terrace, which is BBC Scotland's sort of cult football magazine programme, I suppose you'd describe it as. It sort of takes a sideways look at Scottish football, sort of by the fans, for the fans, essentially. It started off as a podcast, it still is a podcast. And basically when the BBC Scotland channel was launched, they were approached to make a pilot amongst other companies to make a pilot for a football programme, essentially, for the new channel. And they got the commission. So it's been going... I've been working on the second half of Series 2. So it started around about this time last year. And, yeah, it covers all aspects of Scottish football from the top of the table, you know, top the Premiership, all the way down to juniors, amateurs, you know, all aspects of football. If there's football involved, we'll cover it. Like I was in Barlinnie the other week covering football. So,
where's your favourite place you've been so far to cover? Don't say it.
I don't know. I don't know where I've been. Like, I didn't get to go to Iceland, if you're thinking I did that.
No, I mean, but just like of the places you visited.
You don't want me to say Gayfield, do you?
Yeah, that's exactly what I don't want you to say.
That was a pretty good day out, but it's I'm just saying it's a fun job. It's crazy how accessible, if that makes sense, the clubs are, especially sort of lower down. You know, there's just people just as enthusiastic about the sport as the fans are, and just want to help out where they can, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Did you go to Lynx Park? Have you been to Montrose?
I haven't personally, but they went back in November to do part of the piece that went out last night, actually. It's part of the best of the One Saturday piece. They did. They were at Lynx Park for that, as well as like four or five other different grounds.
Oh, okay, cool.
They did 16 hours of football from like 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. just all around the country, lumped it together.
Ah, okay, nice one. Where do you think football is going? What do you think is going to happen? I know like a lot of kind of lower leagues are now calling the season. Is it right that amateur football have said the season's just kind of done?
Not too sure on that, actually. I know obviously Highland League they've proclaimed Brora to be the champions because they were 13 points ahead with like six games to play or something like that, so that's fair enough. I don't know, obviously in Scotland and in England the top leagues have said nothing's going to happen before the 30th of April. I can't see football coming back as soon as that. It's all going to be dictated on what happens and what the government sort of say. I don't think football will be back before people can get out to see it. I don't think they'll play it behind closed doors unless they absolutely have to. Because they don't want to risk the health of the players and the officials and, you know, the staff and stuff. So, yeah, it's uncertain times. It's unprecedented. It happened so quickly. On the Monday, we were discussing it. So about 3 weeks ago on the Monday, we started discussing it and how things were ramping up. But we were starting cancelling leagues around Europe, sort of Italy, Germany, Spain and such. And then the day after, England and Scotland pretty much postponed everything. It was a Thursday because obviously Aberdeen were playing.
It was a Friday.
No, sorry, it was. Yeah,
it was really sudden because I was thinking, well, we're going to get the Dons game in tonight ahead of them. Because obviously, I think everyone kind of could feel it was coming. And the Old Firm was on the Sunday. And there was kind of the only question was whether they were going to hold off and the Old Firm was going to go ahead or whether they were going to, you know, cancel it from the Monday or whether they were going to cancel the Old Firm as well. And then, unexpectedly, for me anyway, they just cancelled football right from like then onwards. So that Aberdeen game obviously got canned.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the scale of it as well. It wasn't just like professional football, it was all football. Like, you know, boys teams, Sunday league teams, women's football, girls football, literally any shape or variety of the game just postponed indefinitely.
Yeah. I think it's better that it was done that way, though. I think it makes it very clear, like, there's like a universal approach.
Yeah, because I mean, you suppose in Glasgow, if the juniors hadn't been cancelled, then folk would have just gone and watched the juniors, and it would have exceeded the 500 people gathering thing they had in place originally. But yeah, it's crazy how fast it's progressed, and I don't think there's anyone's any closer to knowing when it's going to be back. And saying there's more important things, obviously, to get through first and think about before football, but it's means a lot to a lot of people, and I don't mean that just for me in terms of it's my livelihood, but it is a lot of people's release, and the fact that there's literally no football anywhere in Europe to watch on the TV or anything like that, it's bizarre.
Yeah, it's mad. I've seen a lot of teams, obviously, having Newcastle fans, and I've seen that Newcastle on Saturday afternoons at 3 o'clock. I think it is. They're like replaying like classic games on YouTube with like live chats and stuff. I quite like to see stuff like that. I think it's good that like football is still trying to sort of, I don't know, have a community spirit, despite the fact people can't actually meet up and go to games.
Yeah, I think it's interesting watching the social engagement online. And I mean, we were fortunate enough, I suppose, that we were able to put out a show on the Friday after the Friday we were discussing. We put out a show on Friday that we were discussing. Sorry, we put a show out on the 13th, which was pre-recorded on the Wednesday. So all this had happened before the show had gone out. So, some of the context of the show didn't make sense because there were no games at weekends because the guys make predictions at the end of the show. And then we were like, okay. And we just sort of took it day by day, really. We managed to put out a show the following Friday, which was a week past Friday there, which was our sort of like, well, this is it for now sort of show. And then we put out our best of series 2 last night. So, yeah, and we were due to be still had a couple of shows still to make, you know, potentially some more after that. So it went very quickly from planning ahead for the next sort of 6-7 weeks to we need to sort of just focus on a day by day, essentially. So because with my job, I work a couple of weeks in advance because I'm obviously involved in making the little films that go in between the studio chat and filmed usually a couple of weeks before the actual show. So, all that had to be scrapped, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed it a lot with, like, there's also a lot of podcasts I listen to that have maybe a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, bigger than this one is essentially what I'm trying to say, that have quite a lot of like sponsors and stuff in place, and they're obviously reliant on those sponsors to, I mean, some of these podcasts are probably like actual sources of income for the people making them. So they've got to keep releasing podcasts. Like I'm kind of like I'm talking about like football ones and like UFC boxing ones. They've got to keep releasing content because their sponsors will stop obviously paying them if they don't, and they've, or there's maybe a contract in place saying they've got to release a certain amount of content. But there's now fucking no sport for them to talk about. So it's quite funny, like, listen to these podcasts, like, try and put stuff out, and there's nothing for them really to comment on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I haven't listened to TalkSport since all this happened, so who knows what's going on over there, like, because that is just 24 hours of sport talk on the radio. So I tuned into SportsSound this afternoon, and they were talking about, they're sort of going through all Scotland's World Cup campaigns of the past, because obviously Thursday past was meant to be the Scotland-Israel game, the sort of Euro 2020 qualifier. So Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see what content clubs and organizations and broadcasters are putting out in this time, but it just means we can't make any new content because obviously with no football, there's nothing to cover. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I think it'll make people appreciate it even more when it is back, I think.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it will be back. It will be. It's just when. We just don't know when.
Yeah. What do you think? Like, if you were to predict, and obviously no one could predict, and it's like kind of just all total speculation, but what do you think is going to happen in the sort of the bigger leagues, like the Premier League and Scottish Premiership? What do you expect? I know it's all kind of based on when things can start getting going again, but just.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me your thoughts.
I think they'll try and finish the season in some shape or form if they can. Whether that's in the top flight, they go to 33 games in Scotland rather than doing the split and doing 38. Or potentially they'll play all the games when football can get given the go-ahead to carry on. We're not going to know. I don't think we'll know anything more before the 30th of April when the current sort of deadline is. But we might. I would, you know, probably start hearing rumblings a couple of weeks before, I'd imagine. But no one really knows. Everyone's just sitting and waiting. But yeah, in terms of when football, what will happen? I mean, I'd like to see the season complete in some shape or form. The worst thing would to be null and void it.
Yeah. But how do you think? What do you think would happen if, like, obviously Liverpool pretty much won the Premier League for the first time in 30 years? I mean, how mad would it be if they actually were denied the title through?
Well, I mean, to be like, that would be ridiculous. But to his credit, the person who, in England at least, who seems to care least about what actually happens in regards to Premier League is Jurgen Klopp himself. You know, he sees the bigger picture and, you know, understands that football is just football at the end of the day. People's health is more important. So,
100% is. I'm just like open about earth and everyone needs to, but just it's kind of just good fun to speculate on what's going to happen on sort of.
In terms of England, I don't have a clue. In terms of Scotland, my best guess would be try and finish it to some degree or call it where it is. But if they do that, I reckon there needs to be some league reconstruction because, you know, it'd be really harsh to relegate the likes of Hearts and that, who are only 4 points from bottom.
In Scotland they might do 33 games, or if they aren't able to do that, I think they'll just call it what it is and do some sort of playoff thing. Even probably just pretty similar to the playoffs that are in place already.
I think the SF are keen to finish the Scottish Cup whenever it happens, because I think it's a great deal of revenue for the association and obviously the clubs involved. So I think we're really keen to get that finished whenever that may be, whether it's in the early weeks of the next campaign or whatever does happen. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they scrapped the League Cup next year if things went on longer than planned. Because my initial thoughts was they'll postpone Euro 2020 to 2021, which happened, and then they'd play the remainder of the season in the summer, have a very short summer break, and start the new season. But the longer time goes on, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening in football clubs that I don't even, you know anything about, obviously, in terms of contracts and things like that, because players' contracts run to the end of June. So if the season was to run beyond that, what do clubs do? Do they, you know, it really needs to be, I suppose, kind of almost a universal agreement as to what happens, I suppose, if it came to in that respect. But say I'm just speculating like everyone else. No one really knows what is going to happen. I think there's an opportunity here, certainly for maybe Scottish football to move to summer football. There's an opportunity for some league reconstruction. So there could be some positives that come out of the negatives of this time. But the most important thing is getting through this period, getting everyone through this period, and hoping and helping clubs get through this period as well, because it's taken a huge hit on them. But I'm just like everyone else, keen to get back to it. I love what I do. I love working with the people I work with. I love working with the organisations and clubs that we work with across Scotland. It's a great community, and we're all just desperate to get back to it.
Yeah. Last thing I'm going to say about football, but did you see the Aberdeen put out a video of players and past players phoning like people in the community to check how they're doing during coronavirus?
Yeah, I didn't see the video, but I heard about.
You've got to watch it.
Being on Twitter, seeing some of the messages and about, you know, there's one guy whose dad's in his 80s and he's isolating himself, and he had a phone call from Simi, just to check in how he's doing, and he was recalling the 80s and stuff with him. And I think it's important for clubs to engage with the community, but it's also important for the community to engage with their clubs, especially smaller clubs that will struggle to get through this period. I mean, I was discussing this with Ewan the other day, or he sort of put the idea towards me. It was like, what about the fans of the big teams, you know, your Celtics, your Rangers, your Aberdeens, Hearts, Hibs? What about if we all sort of buy merchandise from some of the smaller clubs, you know, find your second team and, you know, buy a jersey or something in this sort of time. I mean, I bought a park strip the other day. I've been looking around to see, you know, where else I could, you know, now that I know sort of in terms of financially, I've got a bit of security, how I can maybe help out in that respect. But I think it's just, even if you're not into football, it's means a huge amount to the community around you, even if you don't engage in it. And it's, even though it's a daft wee game, it means a lot to a lot of people. So I think even if you're not into football, sort of engage with it and see what you can do to help, I suppose, as well.
That's one of the only thing that with this whole thing is there's so many people, like so many, you know, people that are self-employed and stuff, so many people that need support, and everyone kind of has to pull together. It can, I suppose, a little bit overwhelming when you see, do you know what I mean? Like there's so much that, you're saying like get involved with football, which obviously people should, but there's like everything now that kind of needs everyone to pull together. There's so many places that you need to like kind of support.
Massively. I mean, it's just one facet of society at large. And it's been interesting. I think the vast majority of people are looking out for each other and following the government's advice with social distancing. I mean, I've been out a couple of times since lockdown, not doing the things that we're only meant to get out to do, but I'm in the process of moving flats, so I've been doing that at like late at night where the chances of being in contact with anyone is very slim. It needs to be done just because it's again money and stuff at this time. And you know, if I was stopped by the police, I'd take the fine. You know, it's, you know, I am, you know, technically not following the rules to the letter, but I say I try and do it as responsibly as possible, basically.
So yeah, but you're just moving stuff, like you're just moving flat, that kind of thing is, I suppose, unavoidable. Like there's not much you can do.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. I mean, I'm doing it myself. You know, I've not enrolled the help of anyone, so I'm trying to keep it to a minimum, even if it means me running up and down 3 flights of stairs 6 or 7 times in one, you know, car trip. But
Well, people are doing that anyway now with the gyms all being shut.
Yeah.
Everyone's finding new wacky ways to exercise.
Exactly. So, but yeah, no, it's encouraging to see what is happening at this time in this sort of 3 weeks anyway, and how people are trying to help each other. And I mean, long may it continue in the sense of people helping each other, but not long may it continue in the sense of us being locked down, because you know, the longer it goes on, the more restless people will get. And
that's it.
Who knows what happens, but I mean, everyone's been pretty positive about it so far. And yeah, it's just it's almost like a dream state. Like, still can't get your head around it, because you're so ingrained in you as a 28-year-old that, you know, life works in a certain way. And you, Monday, Friday, you get up, you go to work, you come home, you have your dinner, you do a bit of exercise, you watch something on telly, and now you're just stuck indoors, getting paid to be staying indoors because there's a pandemic that you can't even see. Like, I don't know anyone directly that's, you know, been impacted by the virus, although I've heard, obviously, and seen the news and the images that are coming out across the world, not just in the UK. But I think it's very different seeing that and then it actually affecting you directly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just a bizarre set of circumstances, which I'm sure everyone say when you speak to them.
Yeah. Do you think after this will be like a? Do you think people will reflect on where we were in society before, and maybe things will change, and they will learn from everything that's happened through this, or do you think things will just go back to normal? In terms of everyone kind of being in their own bubble?
It's an interesting question. It's an interesting thought. I think I would imagine that not much has changed in terms of the mentalities of people. I think if you are a person who volunteers and wants to do good in the community, you are that person beforehand, maybe just didn't have the opportunity to do as much as you like because of other commitments. If you took things for granted before this, imagine majority of people continue to take things for granted afterwards. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, this is not something that's going to be here for a couple of weeks and then we'll go back to normality. The sort of after effects of this are going to sort of echo on a lot longer than we're probably going to realize. But people have been through these kinds of things before, maybe not necessarily a health pandemic, but obviously like world wars and things like that. So yeah, it's interesting. I was watching the Bill Gates TED Talk from 2018 the other morning, the one where he talked about this, essentially, that we as a world weren't prepared for something like this, and how we weren't investing, or governments weren't investing enough money into what happens if there was a pandemic like this, and we're starting to see that now. I think governments will be better prepared, hopefully. You'd imagine on the other side of this, in case anything did happen like this again. But, you know, maybe there'll be a new normal. You know, what we considered normal before might change and there'll be a new normal.
Well, you're going to have to indulge my conspiracy theory lead-ins here. But I do wonder about, and I kind of agree with everything you're saying there about people kind of personally changing, but But I do wonder if like there'll be a political shift after this in terms of we'll look at, you know, what we've got in place for the NHS and stuff like that, and for people who like sick pay and things like that, and that all that will improve, or whether, but the darker sort of more dystopian side of me kind of thinks or wonders whether or not the government will see how they were able to sort of manipulate and control the mass population fairly easily, and whether that's going to lead to some sort of much more, I don't know, restrictive restrictions on, or whether they're going to pass sort of like legislation to make it that they can like lock down a population at any point if they want to, sort of thing. I don't know, I'm just being paranoid. Spent too much time in my bedroom.
Interesting thought. I mean, but you'd imagine that government isn't just one party, you know, one ruling party. So you'd imagine that there'd be parties against that, hopefully, and would prevent that. We don't live in a dictatorship, so
we might be by the end, Michael. And they're all lizards anyway, so
yeah. Well, you can have your David Icke conspiracies if you like, but I'm saying, I hadn't even thought about that. You know, my conspiracy was that this was all happened because my Sunday league team got to the semi-finals of the Glasgow Communities Cup by knocking out another pal of ours team, and he started it, so we couldn't go on and win the cup. So,
I mean, if there's one man sinister enough to start a pandemic, it is him. We won't name him. If he's listening, he knows who he is. But yeah. Have you heard any good conspiracy theories? I'm very interested in coronavirus conspiracy theories, but I haven't heard that many, certainly.
No, I haven't heard any conspiracy theories. I think it's definitely happening. I'm not, by saying earlier that, you know, because I can't see it, it's not, you know, it's not actually happening. It's definitely happening. It's interesting, though, what makes something like the coronavirus as serious as it does, if that makes sense, because there are other illnesses and such out there, and I think it's obviously because we don't have a vaccine is a big thing. It's completely, and the speed at which it spreads as well.
Yeah, we're getting too bleak on it and scientific. I think one of the factors that makes it spread so much and so dangerous is because it has such a low mortality rate.
Yeah,
because like with a lot of illnesses, they kind of like slow themselves down, contagious diseases, because they kill like so many of the people they infect, so they're not out there infecting others, if that makes sense. Whereas with this, obviously, a lot of people are still well or only show mild symptoms, and even if they do get very sick, there's a good period where they're not sick and they're still out there spreading it. So I think that's one of the factors.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just interesting how this one has had the impact it has, considering all the, in the last sort of 20 years, all the sort of epidemics that have happened, you know, sort of bird flu, swine flu, SARS in Asia, which obviously this is a version of, Ebola in Africa. How this one is spread as efficiently as it has. I don't understand the science particularly of it beyond what we're being sort of told in the media. I was listening to your introduction to these podcasts the other morning, and like you say, I'm one of those people you were talking about, but I'm always on my phone trying to learn about it just to understand it and try and get my head around when things might be back to normal. but also understand that it's completely unprecedented circumstances and no one really has an answer to that. Obviously, you see China trying to get back to some semblance of normality. Their sort of number of new cases is almost virtual zero. But is there going to be a second wave of this in those countries? So it's, I think it's one of these things that maybe until there's a vaccine, we're going to have to sort of live tentatively around and maybe expect periods of lockdown, maybe not to the extreme of like 3 weeks in a row, but maybe they'll lock down, you know, put a curfew on for 4 out of 7 days a week or something like that, just to try and limit the spread kind of thing. Who knows what they'll do. And it's interesting watching the social commentary as well in terms of people criticizing actions by governments or praising them. I mean, they've got, obviously there's political agendas, but there's also scientists that are held in high regards sort of behind this and making recommendations. So it's just hoping that their recommendations are being taken on board and implemented as soon as possible kind of thing. So yeah, because they say we're about 3 or 4 weeks behind Italy in terms of where we're at with this. And someone I know has family in Italy, and they were on lockdown a couple of weeks ago when we weren't, and they were corresponding and said that the person in Italy was saying that we were very much in the meme phase of this pandemic, where we just thought it was all a bit of a, not a laugh, but probably weren't taking it as seriously as it is. So yeah, I suppose all we can do is sit, wait and watch, see what's happening across Europe and other countries, and sort of work out the timeline in terms of how far behind we are.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll give us some indication. But I'd rather be here than in America, where they just don't seem to be taking it seriously at all. And you can see that in the number of cases that they have now, where they've, you know, gone beyond the number of cases that China had. So you still there?
Yeah. What's that?
No, I thought I'd frozen there, but we just also both fell very silent at the same point. So I'm sure you'll cut around that.
Nah, I probably won't. I'm very lazy with my editing.
You've got lots of time to be able to edit now. Though, so.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, I don't know whether the US have, without being too political and kind of conspiracy driven, but I don't know whether they, I mean, letting it go because they want to have something to blame China for.
Who knows, man? That's the saying. It's tricky to talk about it in terms of from the political aspect of it, because there's no real obvious political leanings in terms of how this virus should be dealt with, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
everyone's very much all in it together. You know, you don't see the Lib Dems out campaigning saying do it completely different if they'd been in charge. You know, no one's making this into sort of a campaign for the next
general. That's one positive, I guess, is that like politicians do seem to be working together for the first time in a good while.
Yeah. It's been unprecedented. You know, I am as, you know, my feelings towards the Conservative Party and government are as grim as the next person's. However, they're, at least they're doing stuff because they have to. Yeah. Whether they're doing it quick enough that could be how you perceive it. I mean, a lot of things have happened in terms of the what the Chancellor said in the last couple of weeks, which is completely unprecedented, and probably you would be hard to see that in a sort of Labour budget and things in terms of the amount of money that's been made available and such for a party that's very much pro austerity. And yeah, I say I don't want to get too political on it because I'm not as politically well versed as others, and I don't want to appear as stupid as I am when it comes to politics.
Oh, don't worry, I know fuck all. We could just talk absolute shit and then get ripped to shreds afterwards. That'd be a good laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. We could do a joint press conference where we have to defend our opinions. So that's why I'm trying to have any opinions on it. Things are happening. I don't know if they should be happening quicker. If they seem to be all right things. More needs to be done, definitely, in terms of how frontline workers and that are being looked after, the people that are trying to help ease this crisis, definitely. But at the same time, if I was in charge, wouldn't look like this. It'd probably be an absolute disaster. So,
fair play. Last thing I'll ask you about is just how are you finding it all emotionally, self-isolating? Are you dealing with it well? Are you finding it tough? Are you finding your own mental health taking a dip because of it? Or
bizarrely, I'm finding it okay. I don't know why. I mean, there was one point when it was that Thursday before they suspended football. I came home from work and I sat on the sofa, and the sort of unknown as to what was going to happen, because all these other leagues were shutting down. Didn't know if the league I was covering was going to shut down, and that unknown and uncertainty and how my livelihood is tied up in that, I sat and I cried for a good hour with no, like, yeah, it was just the sort of the build up, the stress, the sort of what is going to happen. I'd been working from home that day, so not being in and around the office and having the discussions about what might happen, I struggled with that. And then the next day I had a day off as well. So when they did suspend it, I couldn't be in the room when we were just to gauge the attitude of the people you work with. And, I find comfort in that, even if it was like everyone was on fire, you know, at least you're in there and you're experiencing it as well. It's sort of been sort of removed from that situation. I found
it's almost that safety in numbers thing, is it?
Yeah. And then obviously as this progressed as well, it's like, okay, so then people slowly but surely, with bars, restaurants and all that shutting down, people not being having work, and I think a lot of anxiety came from some people still getting to go to work and lead the normal lives and make money, etc. Some people can't because of restrictions put in place. And I think, in a sense, the best thing is what has happened in this full lockdown, because everyone's in the same boat now. And I don't feel like shit, there's people out there with different jobs making money and I'm not. And, obviously all this sort of financial support and everything that's come through in recent days and stuff as well, that's put my mind at ease. But I knew that I still had a couple of weeks left. There's a lot of my job I can do from the office, for circumstances I won't go into because they're long boring. There was potential that I'd be finishing up in a couple of weeks time anyway, so there was a chance that I'd be in this scenario anyway in terms of my workflow and such. So I wasn't too concerned. It's more just like what happened beyond that, because obviously a lot of friends and colleagues had their contracts terminated before things got even started and were unemployed. And I was like, there's reams of Facebook pages, or there's definitely a good few that people advertise their availability on, and just it was a litany of people day after day joining the hordes of the unemployed saying, I'm available doing this, and things were getting shut down at the same time. And I was like, well, I know that I'm potentially available from this date, which is a few weeks away, but I was like, out of respect, I'm not going to sort of advertise my availability because there's so many people in the queue ahead of me that I'll do it maybe closer to the time. But as it is, I don't have to be concerned about that right now. Things are happening in a good way for people in my situation, which means hopefully they won't have to go onto universal credit. So, yeah, more answers have come out and more decisions have been made. The clearer I think my mindset has been. But I'm fully expecting it to be more than 3 weeks that we're in this state.
You think?
Definitely, yeah. I don't think it gets to the end of, was it two Fridays' time? I think is it 10th of April? I don't think we get to that point and we're in a position where we can go back to normality. I can see us being extended for a good few weeks beyond that. But, you know, you can get things done. You can do other projects that maybe you didn't have time to do, or just make best of a weird situation.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, by the way. It's in an unprecedented amount of podcasts and
totally
running many miles.
Well, that's I need to go and start running again, but that's it's just my own laziness that's preventing me from doing that so far.
I feel like I'm still in the novelty phase of lockdown, where everything, I'm kind of just almost enjoying it. Not obviously enjoying the whole situation, but enjoying the fact that I've got plenty of time to do the things I want to do. But I think over the next couple of weeks, I can imagine it's going to get a lot tougher and I'll start to miss the normality.
I'll let you know how it goes, because obviously I'm a good week ahead of you. And it's, for me at the moment, it just feels like it's Christmas, but without the decorations, you know what I mean? That kind of slow down period. But the days are longer and... but everyone's inside, kind of thing, which most people are at Christmas, and that's what it feels like right now. But as Christmas period's only sort of a 2 week period tops, so once we get beyond that, it's like, do you start training in your head to go back to when you're at school in 6 weeks, being like the summer holidays, even though you weren't generally inside the entire time? But you know, growing up, I was maybe not the most social of kids, and would spend a lot of time of my summer indoors. So it's just breaking it down into chunks, and how you sort of, for me anyway, gauge it against other things that happen in life and times of year, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know what you mean about it. Sort of does feel like that kind of like holiday, Christmas sort of feeling, but then it also goes back to what you were saying about how you had like quite an intense emotional period on that Friday, and I had one of those a couple of days ago as well. It's like, for the majority of the day, it does feel kind of like you're just bumbling about getting on with it, and it is, like you say, a holiday. It feels a bit like that kind of Christmassy feeling, but then when you like do you sit down and it all catches up on you, what's going on a global scale and why all this is happening and what could potentially happen, that's when I found it difficult. And it's hard because you almost feel guilty if you don't sit and think about that and try and process it, if you sort of just live in the moment. But you kind of got to do what you got to do to keep yourself sane and healthy, I suppose.
Totally. And I think it's interesting, it's been very interesting, the sort of engagement, I think, between just groups of friends since this has happened. I think, ironically, people are talking more because they've got the time to do it. So, you know, obviously, you're again talking in your intro about house party and things like that, and even though we've not used it for games and stuff, you know, we've been on it and chatting in groups with other people, and I think, you know, families, I mean, I don't have any grandparents anymore, but I think people are maybe engaging with their elder relatives a bit more than they maybe previously did because their lives were so busy. So yeah, I mean, hopefully if anything comes out of this in a positive respect that that continues afterwards, that sort of level of engagement. And, you know, I think people are very mindful not to forget anyone at this sort of juncture in time. You know, I've been chatting with people I don't regularly chat with quite a lot recently, just because there's time to do it, and you don't, and you forget, you know, how long it's been since you've spoken to them. So, yeah, but who knew when we were at that birthday party the other week that, you know, that we'd be in this situation we are right now, that, you know, our next totally prolonged sort of conversation would be through a screen totally from several hundred miles away. But, hey, yeah, strange.
Well, mate, I'm going to let you go because I need to go for my dinner, and I'm trying to keep these podcasts a manageable length because I'm really bad for just letting them ramble on.
This is why you need to
edit.
Yeah, you could get us to a tight 20, I reckon, if you edited it.
Yeah, I don't do editing. You're always on to me to edit. Right, thanks so much for speaking to me, man. And maybe we'll catch up with you again before the end of all this, depending on how long it lasts.
Hopefully not, because hopefully it won't be that long. So, you know, for everyone's sake, yours, mine, and everyone listening, let's hope you don't hear from me again, in this context anyway. But, you know, I'd be more than happy to come back on. Maybe when I'm a feral, wilder person in 8 weeks' time, because I've just been housebound. But maybe language will cease to exist and we'll just communicate through a series of grunts and noises. Who knows?
Well, I'm only 2 or 3 days away from posting my shit on Instagram and getting people to rate them, so.
Fair enough.
Right, man. Take it easy. I'll catch up with you in a bit.
No worries.
Okay, that was the episode number 3, I think, with Michael. I hope you enjoyed it. There'll be another one of these Friday, and then subsequently Monday, Wednesday and Friday next week. Hopefully, I'm hoping to do this for as long as the lockdown continues, but we'll see how it goes. But that's my aim anyway. Any suggestions about anything, any guests or topics or anything at all that you want me to do? I think I had a suggestion about doing one on Scottish Muay Thai, so might get that on the go. We will see. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Stay safe, and yeah, be back Friday. Cheers.